So I'm Rudy.
I'm Steve.
I'm Oscar.
Okay, and we're back. Oh, you know, really, we never said the name of this podcast either. This is right back to the Simpsons podcast. We explained it though, haven't we? You listened to it, Oscar?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right back to the Simpsons.
This should be episode 12, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have 11 and 11.5, I guess, which I go to post.
Do you hear?
One of these days.
Do you hear a bunch of background noise from that?
Yeah, of course.
Why don't you go ahead and just crank that down just a little bit?
That's fine. Cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I never listen. It's weird. I started. This is where we'll have the UFC on in the background. UFC 138.
Oh. Yep. Anyway, so it was an interesting week. I rode a dragon. And
oh yeah, as the PS to the end of the podcast.
Yes. Apparently, I kind of went off into La La Land, and I was riding a winged dragon.
I haven't heard the story, so I'm actually looking
forward
to it.
You were there, Steve.
You were here for the story. Remember when he was sitting in the chair and he started...
Oh, that!
I was digging my heels into his scales.
Oh.
and to show you what great friends we were, Oscar and I just stood back and go, hey, Lisa, is he dying?
She's like, nah, just hit him. It's like, so apparently she fixes me like the Fonz fixes the jukebox.
She took your glasses away and you followed your glasses like Linus with his...
That's scary, the fact that she knows me so goddamn well.
Yeah. So for the viewers who don't, or the listeners...
We have very few listeners and no viewers.
Who don't know what we're talking about. Last week when we ended the podcast, Steven, it appeared to would look like went into a seizure. And we weren't really sure what was going on, but I thought he was seizing because his arm was twitching, and it just...
What happened
was... It freaked me out a little. I was like,
shit. I was sitting there, and I could just feel myself, like... Because I'm pretty sure you know I have, like, blackouts. Like, I mean, I just pass out.
You could sleep anywhere.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
True that.
That's what I was trying to say. But anyway, so I was sitting there, and I was like, I could feel myself just slowly, like, getting to the point where, because I even said, like, I got to sit down.
You keep talking.
When I said, I was like, I got to sit down, and you're like, you're already sitting down, because I was like, I saw the couch. I was like, I had to get to that couch, because I knew I was like, because everything around me, it was just closing in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was closing in.
That's cool.
And then that was, I mean, obviously for y'all, y'all got a good chuckle out of it.
Yeah.
But
well, at the time, it was kind of serious.
Oh, no, it's funny.
I mean, now it's funny as hell. I thought it was funny then, too.
Then I thought it was kind
of
serious
because
I'd never seen anybody have potentially...
Like, more numbers for the podcast!
I've never
Oscar
seen anyone have potentially a seizure before, and it freaked me out a little, dude.
Well,
I never, because
I think that day, I ate breakfast. That was it. And it was breakfast because, you know, I ate like two tacos. I ate one a little bit later in the day, and that was all I ate. Mm. And then again, drinking Crown or Yak, if you will. And it kind of, I drank. Let's rephrase that. I drank quite a large amount of it, and just so happens that I kind of got a little buzz on. Okay.
You were never little.
But anyway, that's how it went. So anyway, that's the end of the last podcast. But let's go ahead and go over to
what do you want to go to?
I don't know. What's the random list that I was giving you? And just...
Well, a part of that, real quick as an ending, is I remember staring at you, not really knowing what to do. And then
looking
Rudy,
lovingly into your eyes.
Rudy looked at me and he's like, should we do something? I was like, I don't know.
Luckily, Lisa was standing here.
Yeah, then we called her, and then she came and kind of snapped him back into the world and put him on the couch and laid him out.
Okay.
I'm glad she was here, dude. I probably would have called the cops or 911.
Yeah, no, don't call the cops.
No
cops.
My meth lab, I mean my Beth lab.
That was so stupid. So riding dragon is done. You stop breathing when you sleep.
Oh yeah, that's what I was saying.
That's right. Yeah, that was the other thing. And Lisa, like,
it's kind of like got to the point where, you know, Lisa
sleep
would,
apnea. As a matter of fact,
I don't know if it's sleep apnea.
Did you get tested for that?
Yeah,
before
I get tested.
Yeah,
before
you
know,
got your
and it just
bypass.
You know, eventually I just
gastro
stop
bypass
breathing.
That's
and
sleep apnea. I mean, that's
sleep apnea. you just have word apnea. Apparently.
But
every time I drink that coffee, man, it makes me slur. So I'm probably gonna be slurring or
it's
talking.
Probably caffeine just kind of jazzing you.
I think so.
What kind of coffee is it?
My caramel macchiatos. It's shots.
I would drink
of espresso.
I would drink the espresso, not expresso. There's
that
no
one.
X in it.
It depends on how fast
slur.
I gave it to him.
five minutes in, and he killed it, everyone.
Oh, come on.
That was awesome. I give you that one.
If Oscar says it's good,
it's not.
No.
I giggled.
Oh, also, so very, very good French, black French restaurant.
Oh!
Black French?
Black yeah. French restaurant. Just get the joke out.
It's called Chez What?
Oh, wow! That's how bad it is! Even Oscar gave you the...
Chez What?
So, you stopped... You stop sleeping.
Oh, anyway, I stopped sleeping. So, man, I stopped sleeping. Stop breathing.
I said the same thing.
And Lisa, you know, apparently when we were, you know, dating and all that stuff, she freaked her out.
Before wedlock?
But now it's like, you know, it's no big deal. So, apparently, I don't remember doing it, but she says that every time she does wake me up or something like that.
Before she go-goes?
Wow.
That's like, what, at the 6 minute for yours?
Yeah, wow. I feel it 6 minutes in.
I really hope your house has a carbon monoxide leak tonight. Anyway, so she would.
I like that one. That was a good one.
She would you know, like nudge me or something like that just to snap me out of it. And I'm like,
and she said, the episode.
She goes, you wake up and you're like, what? I'm asleep. What? And she's like, she goes, all right, motherfucker. Next time I'll let you die. You know, it just kind of become a running gag. And she also likes to torture me in my sleep because I am a bit of a blanket hog. So,
oh, yeah, the feet thing.
The feet and my mouth.
Your mouth.
Yeah, because that's one thing I can't stand.
So we know Steve is not Japanese.
Yes, I really think so.
Wow, 7 minutes. We're like trading jabs. Like, oh yeah, I'll kill this podcast. So much money off this podcast.
Yeah, we do.
It hurts that we don't make.
Yeah, but anyway, she apparently because in retaliation of me just hogging the blankets, or you know, to the point where she can't use them, you know, so she decides to get even me when I'm asleep, and she knows my hatred of feet, because feet just gross me out to no end. I don't care. Feet are fucking nasty.
Just to look at them, or?
No, touch me. Don't touch me with your feet.
Okay. I can understand.
I mean, like, that was one of the things when growing up. I remember my sister would drive me nuts with it, because, you know, just like.
And Joe's your Achilles heel, and you told her about it?
Yes.
Oh.
And she put her socked foot in my mouth where I sleep.
Oh, that's even worse.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
And, you know, she's like...
You're just turning Oscar on.
She'd be like...
He's like shifting
his
seat. She's
like, I don't know if I would... She goes, I thought about taking a picture with my foot in your mouth while you slept.
But she goes, that would be so awesome.
Like the South Park episode.
Yeah. And, you know, she's like, but nah. She goes, I just knew that I put it in there, so it was enough for me. And there's other times when we used to
Michael
back at
the
White
part
House,
of the podcast.
Back over there in Denver Harbor. You know, the way our bed was set up, I was by the wall, she was by the door. So, you know, the bed was in the corner. And so, you know, she said I would fight for the blankets, pull it, and then she would just let it go after I tried again to pull it, and I would just ram my hand into the wall, and she would just like, you know, laugh because, well, it was funny to her. And, you know, like, I'd wake up and I was like, what the fuck happened to my hand? You know?
Wow, really?
Yeah. And she was like, oh, yeah, I made you ran into the wall last night. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Not bad.
But anyway, so it's kind of, you know, again, old thing for her. She doesn't really necessarily, you know, phase her anymore.
Was this Heather?
Who, my sister?
Yes.
With a foot?
Yes.
Yes, it was my sister.
Dibs.
Dibs.
That's for Mike.
Dude, come on.
That's for Mike. That wasn't for me.
Heather.
Yeah.
I remember her back in the day, dude. And she, Heather.
That's Oscar saying.
That's
that.
Oscar, yeah. She has like four kids in her mid-30s, okay?
It's basically in a wagon right now is what he's saying.
A red wagon to haul her vagina around.
Oh, speaking of that, I was handing out candy on Halloween, and this one girl, she came up, I guess she was Mexican, Hispanic of some sort, and she came up in blackface. And I waited until you heard. She came up in blackface. And then as she was walking back, you know how the front door is? Yeah, there's a little walkway to my front door. As she was walking out, three black kids. They didn't notice her, thankfully. But a race war didn't start in front of my house. Three black kids walked up.
That's awesome.
She was in blackface?
She was in blackface. I don't know. She had like the...
was she like Frederick Douglass or something?
That would be my excuse for it. She's Frederick. What did he do?
He was...
I keep thinking he invented peanut butter, but that's not him. That's George Washington Carver.
He invented peanut butter.
God, for a college graduate, you are stupid.
I know. That was the thing I was thinking about this week. I was like, man, I went to college and I graduated. And then,
No.
I don't know what she was. I don't know.
Like, what was she going? You don't know
about,
what she was.
She was about maybe your colors. Maybe she was like your lightness. She had the black.
And you could just like see the outline. I mean, was it like done
yeah,
like
basically,
that?
It was an outline.
It's like, do you not realize this is, I mean, yeah, it's the South, but. It's not 1950s.
Yeah, but the
South.
Thing is, like, these three black, and they're the kids were more. They're like high school kids, and they're more like, "Hey, candy." Yeah. So they had their backpacks and everything. But I was like, "Really?"
So I mean, how old was she? Was she a teenager? Was
teenager,
she older?
So yeah.
Wow, that's
yeah,
just
that's
odd.
Just I wrote that down because I was like, I didn't even tell you. I just saved it for right now.
I got one. So Rudy, what did you think of Thor?
Thor was the worst, not the worst movie I've ever seen, but it was just stupid. It was completely stupid. No, I can't suspend my belief. No, it was just dumb. It was a dumb movie. The premise was just dumb. It was an ABC plot. You knew it was going to happen. You knew Thor. You knew Thor was going to win from the beginning. I know. But come on. Really? Is that it? And it was like, oh, no, the ice people are coming. Like, what do you mean the ice people are coming? What do you mean? You had to know the world. And I had you explain stuff to me online.
Yeah.
But it still was crap.
Really?
He's not a comic book nerd. I was like, because it was...
It was Iron Man 2 bad.
Iron Man 2 was awful. I will
And it was as bad as Iron Man 2.
You mean you didn't like them fighting against each other when he was drunk with the Iron Man suit?
That was retarded. The main thing about Iron Man 2 was that I felt the Avenger
took more
exactly.
More, yeah,
really.
Where,
okay, I don't. I just thought it was just a bad movie.
Where
I didn't
with
even feel
Thor?
What it felt like all of them, like again with Thor, with Iron Man 2, and even with Captain America, they were rushed. So they can get to
well,
the Avengers.
Well, I didn't feel that way with Thor. I felt
beyond,
as
a, beyond
with Thor. I liked it. It was a good pure comic book movie.
I felt the Avenger more complemented the story. Like the Shield were kind of like in the background. They helped the story along.
We are repelling women at like a
yes,
like collegiate level.
Like I told you, it's like the tide rushing out right before the tsunami comes ashore. I mean, it's just that.
If we had any female listeners,
right now,
we don't anymore.
My wife's vagina has just caved in
even
on itself.
Even though she's not in the apartment or in the vicinity.
Oh, I mean, it's like...
It's like, oh, wait a second, what happened?
Yeah. It's just like right now her body's trying to reject her own vagina because I've been in there. That's right.
I don't know.
I busted up in that.
Oh my God!
Oh, that's 13 minutes, folks.
Okay, so back to Thor.
So Thor. Okay.
The thing I liked about Thor was it really felt like a fish out of water. When he did come down, I found very comedic moments, kind of like I am Thor. This
was
badass.
Forced comedy. It was terrible. Those were the worst moments.
Really?
That's what really made me hate the movie.
I liked it. I thought it was funny.
The fish
out of water. No, it was not funny.
Calm down. Well, it was like I'm fucking Thor or whatever, and they slam him into like the window, and he's like,
yeah, I know. He's like, I'm the most powerful. Blah blah blah. Here's an injection. Stop.
But I've laughed. That was
no.
funny. And then the thing where the truck was pulling the hammer and it rips in half. Dude,
oh yeah, that was funny.
I laughed
it.
My ass off.
It was Stan Lee. Yeah,
Stan Lee's cameo. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I enjoyed
and
it.
I liked the he was. I liked his cameo in Captain America as well.
Yes.
I haven't seen Captain America, and I really don't want to see it.
You're not gonna like it if you didn't like Thor, you're not even gonna like it.
Thor
so
was
by if you
far
want,
I'll
erase
best
it and make room.
Already,
you already pulled it.
I already pulled it. I thought that's what I did. Maybe I didn't. Yeah. I need to look at that in a minute. But
you're not gonna like the rest of the thing. I mean, because you're not a comic book nerd at all. You never got into that.
Yeah, I was
world.
Never a comic.
So I mean, to me, I was like, you know, because it did what it did, you know, like the fight scene.
I liked the first Iron Man.
That was actually really good.
It was a really good movie.
It was really good.
Who's going to do the third one, Iron Man 3? Because I know it's not Favreau anymore.
Why?
I don't know.
Why, just money or?
Nah, I think they couldn't agree on a script or I don't know. You know,
he did such a good job.
We have the most powerful tool man has ever created in front of both of us.
Well, he did the second one, and the second one was terrible.
Well, that's true.
I think the second one was
just money because hey, I got a lot of money now.
No,
hey,
I think that one was more studio driven. So I think I think that's what happened.
But the first one did so well, you thought they would give him a little more control. Usually what happens is you get a lot more money for the second one, and then you screw it up. Most second.
On another quick note, one thing that I did not like about Thor, since we're kind of like on the
aside
Thor
from everything.
Was I thought that Anthony Hopkins was a little over the top.
Way over the top.
I mean, there's a couple of scenes where he was just like all over it. But then again, it kind of killed Chris Hemsworth's acting because I thought Anthony Hopkins was really, really good in certain scenes, and you had Thor just right there completely undershadowed. I mean, there had to have been at some point where the director yelled cut and fucking Anthony Hopkins was like, come on, man, you need to do better than that. It's just his acting was just crap, like compared with Anthony Hopkins.
He's getting to that point where maybe he's at that end of the row like, what's his name? What the fuck was that horrible actor? He was over the top. He was in a third man. Orson Welles. Because you know how Orson Welles, he kind of just like at the end, he was like damn near in almost anything.
Orson Welles?
Yeah.
Yeah, his last thing was Transformers, right?
That's the only thing I know him in is from the voiceover. It didn't even sound anything like
him.
Have
you ever seen it? It's a really good movie. The Third Man?
No.
It's a 1950s movie.
I'll write it down.
And it's black and white. It's a good story.
No, I do like black and white. The Day There Stood Still, the original, was by far one of the best black and white movies I've ever
seen. But anyway, what my point is...
The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Oh, okay.
The remake with Keanu Reeves.
Whoa. Actually, it was just on earlier.
Oh, man, that is the worst remake shit ever. I hated that movie.
You know a movie also, a comic book movie that I just recently saw again that I haven't seen in a few years?
The Punisher. Dolph Lundgren.
No, Hulk.
Ang Lee.
The Ang Lee. I've never seen the Ang Lee. You told me how great it was.
Are you serious?
You know, I looked back at it. I mean, it was...
I like Ang Lee, though.
He did for what it was... It was a very good, like, it was showing this guy had a fucked
up past. So I'm not
going to
see that movie, then.
No, I mean.
You liked it.
No. I mean, I like it on a different basis. If it wasn't a comic book movie. Or,
it's like the Hulk.
Are y'all trying to keep me on course? Or am I trying to keep you on course, gentlemen?
I know. It's a bizarro podcast.
It is. It's very much
Ooh,
so.
Bizarro cast.
There you go.
Okay.
You just named it, sir. Yeah. What are we talking about?
Ang Lee.
Ang Lee. I mean, he did a good story of just, you know, showing his, like, you know, the backstory, emotionally distraught dude, you know, just has really fucked up problems, you know.
But see, that wasn't the Hulk, and that's what really
frustrated me. It was kind of a reinvention of the Hulk. It didn't have that Bruce Banner, you know, like.
Yeah, and that was my thing. It was too much of a reinvention where I just couldn't appreciate it because it was such a departure.
But I would assume that's Ang Lee's doing. That.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. It was like Brokeback Hulk. That's really what it was.
I love Brokeback.
I did too. But
that's an excellent film.
Because, you know, his love for Betty Ross is what caged his, you know, caged him because you can't kill the Hulk. That's one of the things I was like, they showed about it. He's pretty much, he's not, he's invulnerable.
He can't die.
Yeah, and it's like to the point where he can't even kill himself. He can't, his body will react that fast to the bullet. Like at the moment it censors, it'll trigger it, it'll just block it.
Wow.
He's almost unhurtable, you know, and he knows what he is. But that's what I was saying. He kind of showing that you're showing that it's this guy. He's a normal dude.
Yeah.
Just a scientist, you know, just like you. Exactly. He's just you, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he built on. He built on more of the backstory, more of the. It was just, you're seeing the Hulk. It was purely showing another part of him that's not a part of him. It's just like, you know, there's the story is actually following David than it is actually following the Hulk.
I hated it. I can understand the reason I hated it is because you got more out of it than I did, to be totally honest. I saw nothing but him having daddy issues the whole movie, and I couldn't get past on how his father killed his mother, and he was just so fucking traumatized by that that he just was an idiot. And it
fucked with him. But you got to remember.
But it was just so dramatic, dude.
Yeah, it was dramatic. But you got to remember, if you've seen something like that, no matter how old young you are, like, but that age, you see something dramatic, you're going to remember shit.
I get that.
It's going to run with you for a while.
I get that, but I just didn't...
Trust me, emotional baggage, that shit is heavy.
No, I understand that completely, but it was just a little too realistic to really...
Therapy rocks.
It was a little too realistic to be portrayed in a freaking comic book movie. They try to make it too dynamic, and like a lot of the comedy wasn't there.
Well,
and
yeah, he
that's my issue with it. It wasn't.
Well, he tried to, like, again, he, like you said, he did, he reinvented the Hulk. The way the universe that he put this Hulk is not even the same.
So
Marvel universe.
That makes the reboot mates with
the reboot. That one was remade so it could fit into this Marvel universe.
Okay,
but they're going to keep the same storyline from the Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton.
We talked about
but
that last podcast.
Again, they're going to use Mark Ruffalo, but that same universe is still going to be alive. So the Hulk, Ang Lee's Hulk, never existed in this timeline. But you know, again, as a separate whole story, you may want to watch it. It's still the CGI. I liked it. That's all I can say. I did like it for a story.
The only reason I watch it because I like Ang Lee's stuff.
Well, I do. I like Ang Lee's stuff. I like Crouching Tiger. I remember when we saw Crouching Tiger.
Do you remember when?
Oh, he just made. Like,
he made battling when he was
Steven,
in the desert with the tanks. The tanks were coming out for them.
Oh, that was cool. You know.
Okay, he did all that.
They're holding hands while saying this.
Yes, we are. We're going to do the elephant walk in just a moment here. Just be right back. But
I like the action sequences.
It took me a second to realize what that meant.
Okay. See, that was like another problem where like when you see like an Incredible Hulk, you expect these fucking awesome badass action sequences.
You expect them to be credible.
Well, you expect really awesome action scenes. And I felt like they were short. They weren't.
The only thing I didn't like.
It was long enough, and the action scenes were too short. They were cool, but they were just short.
Okay, the only scene that I didn't like. That again kind of makes you go back to the whole purist nerd comic book. Like, I want to follow the universe that it exists in, not the movie universe. But you got to realize the movie universe is something completely different. So you got to just let it go. Where he passed.
I can understand that.
Yeah, where he passed out. Remember at the point where he jumped onto the
22. Yeah.
And you know you know how fucking awesome these jets are. They're just just ridiculous.
Redonkulous.
Exactly. And anyway, so he's on the back of one of these things, and he's going to basically kill the dude. So they tell him to climb. So he climbs so high into the altitude.
Yeah, the jet's shooting straight up.
He's just going up, and he's like, he'll pass out before you will. And it kind of did. He didn't pass out. I think he just kind of like got dazed and fell off. And just, you know, fell back from the brink of space all the way back to Earth.
But
and
the jet would.
Yeah, the jet was okay. The guy is still there.
No, it wouldn't be.
No, he probably.
Well, I'm going to reality. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they don't pay attention to that. That's purely.
I'm worried about the jet. Meanwhile, exactly. There's a giant green guy in the back.
But and again, you know.
It's like, no, but wait.
In the movie universe, the Hulk is. I mean, not in the movie universe, the comic universe, the Hulk is just physically the most powerful, you know, being in that Marvel universe. And, you know. That's what I want to keep him as, you know, because you don't ever get to see him fight something like the Juggernaut. You know, like the nerd in me is like the Juggernaut.
Remember.
Marco Kane. Juggernaut
I'm the Juggernaut bitch from X-Men The Last Stand.
That's why I fucking hated it. I was like, no!
I'm the Juggernaut
bitch! You know, I was like, I hated that because they made
Vinny
the
Jones.
Juggernaut that he was a filthy mutie. Because Juggernaut in the comic books hates mutants, but he's not a mutant. See, you got to remember this universe, magic is real. So he has this, basically what Juggernaut gives him his power is a magic, it's an imbued ruby, you know.
Oh, bro.
But
even that's stupid for me.
Well, again.
That's more in the comic book world.
Well, yeah, it's in the comic book world, but it's like this, it was basically like something from another universe or something like that, kind of that, you know, the whole Marvel mystic space and all that shit. Anyway, so he's imbued with his power, the unstoppable Juggernaut.
Yeah.
And once he keeps moving, he physically can't be stopped, you know, until he stops himself. And that's just the way it is. But he's also, the backstory is, he's Professor X, stepbrother. And he hates Charles Xavier because Marco Kane, his dad. I know way too fucking much about this shit.
I know you're just going. You're going deep into the text.
Oh yeah.
Hey, wait. We need fodder. I don't care. Go on.
Oh, anyway, do we have time?
This thing only records.
Really,
I only have about 22 hours.
Well, I mean, I like. I mean, this was before. This was before that universe.
I can't get past that you really like the Ang Lee Hulk. I'm still stuck on that. I can't focus on anything else. My brain's built.
Trust me. I mean, I understand the people's what they thought of it, but again, it's its own standalone movie. But that's just what you got to look at it as. It's not the Hulk you know. From
the way I look at it is, you really need to need to shoot for your target audience, and I don't know.
It totally fucked its target audience where it really should have gone with the nerds, like the guys who knew about the universe.
But I don't know what target audience that small amount of. I mean, is he going for chicks for be all dramatic and emotional?
I think he wanted to tell his own story. There you go. And it just so happened the Hulk was his tapestry.
There you go. But what I was trying to say, let's come back into from the side route that we took just a moment ago. He did all the motion capture.
Oh yeah, I do
himself for one of the fight scenes.
Yeah, they
Ang Lee.
Yeah,
they hooked him up with little. They hooked him up and shit.
And he was all actually I did like that. It was cool. He was just like fucking with these tanks like they were nothing. And it was cool because that's the Hulk, you know. They can't hurt him,
uh-huh.
You know. So he's getting rid of them because they're a fucking like a mosquito annoyance to you. You're just gonna fucking slap it, you know. That's what it was. Yeah. And it was funny. It was cool.
Would you say that you like the Ang Lee version better than the? It's the guy who directed the Transporter.
Yeah.
Would you say you like the Ang Lee version better than the Edward Norton version?
Manly. No, I don't put them on the same. Like I told you, I see it as a totally separate movie on its own. Like I said, once you're able to. We're watching that still, aren't we?
Yeah, my bad.
I was actually sort of watching.
I'm sitting here into my own world.
Yeah. Really, you? That's not the movie. Not the show. We're watching UFC in the background.
Yes. Did I change it?
Yes, she did.
What channel is it on?
Spike. Whatever that is.
Why
don't you tell me earlier? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be a douche.
No.
But you are.
That's true. But where was I?
Immortals. You made a note of the immortals.
I asked you if you liked.
Okay, that's what I said. Once you're able to get past all this to the point where you're able to set that aside and get out of that mindset, which I told you, it really kind of fucks you up. Like I said, you just can't get past that. It doesn't fit into that universe. But a standalone movie, it was really good. That's what I'm trying to get across.
Would you say that the Edward Norton Hulk is better than the Thor movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In a heartbeat without even thinking twice about it.
Oh, man, I so disagree. I guess because I really like the Thor movie.
Kenneth Branagh, he did what he... But it just wasn't what the Hulk, because he used the Hulk the way he should have. You know, like the part where he...
Like all emotional daddy issues?
No. I'm talking about the director for
Papa
Hulk. What the fuck's his name? I remember it.
It's like the Transporter dude.
But anyway, he had a... Like where he was trying to protect Betty, remember?
Oh yeah, see that was an awesome sequence. Where, you know, where the helicopter crashed on him and he covered her up and exploded all around her. That was pretty awesome.
But remember how the lightning, and then he was like, Primitive was just like he was like protecting Betty. He picks up a fucking giant boulder and just throws it into space.
Yep.
You're like, that's pretty fucking funny. It's cool.
Could the Hulk make a rock so big even the Hulk couldn't pick it up?
We're gonna call you Contact. But anyway, the whole, like I said, nerd, you know, giddiness would be like something like the Juggernaut.
We gave up on women about 28 minutes ago.
Hey, once I got married, I was able to get right back into my shit. I was like, yeah, I can go back to my hobbies.
I know this is going to be really, really nerdy, but when we're talking about the Hulk.
Where are you going?
We drowned in the nerd pool about 30 minutes ago.
This one gets even worse. If it's
Dungeons and Dragons, you're going to have to get it.
You're talking about the Hulk, where about a week ago I saw an animated cartoon movie called Planet Hulk. Not to say that I really liked it.
My rebuttal? Oh, go ahead and finish.
No, that's it. I just saw it about a week ago, and I actually really enjoyed Planet Hulk.
Planet Hulk was I guess you could say, loosely based translation from Planet Hulk, which was where Hulk was banished to space.
You get it? Okay, so no, I'm going to tell you the plot of this movie.
You get it? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So essentially what happened
it's
was...
It's a comic... I know it's ridiculous when you're like grown men talking about it.
But he was banished to space. That's the worst thing you can do whenever anything goes
into
space.
Do you want me to explain it to you or not?
Yeah, of course, but you go first and then you explain.
Okay, so the plot of Planet Hulk is... Hulk pretty much goes like on a rampage on Earth, and they just can't control him. They're frustrated with him, so they knock him out, and they send him into space.
How do they knock him out when he's indestructible?
There's no explanation. He's just... It wakes up with him in space, and he gets like a video message... Hulk wakes up. He's like, whoa, what the hell? Where am I at? And there's a video message from I don't fucking remember who. And they're like, you're just too much of an asshole. We're going to just send you into space and wherever you land.
Okay, the reason why.
Wherever you lay there, shall you be.
Oh,
there,
yeah, we found a planet for you and you'll be badass
no,
there.
No, there was a backstory to that. The reason, because that, like I said, the Planet Hulk was an offshoot from another ongoing series in the whole universe. And what it was the Onslaught series.
From
No. Planet Hulk,
Hard Rock
it's recent.
Hulk.
It's actually really recent.
Huh?
Hard Rock Hulk is Planet Hulk. Yeah.
Okay.
Go on.
So, the Planet Hulk is kind of recent. It was actually...
I understand what I'm saying. That is a cartoon version of the comic, because there was a comic
series.
Yeah,
yeah, but it was like...
But it was similar. It was a very similar... it was used a lot of the...
Bud,
you know, some
you
of the stuff was
on.
Used for it, but it was... Of course, the comic's just going to be incredibly more just in-depth and actually, you know, has a backstory on the Hulk, you know. But how he got there was he was basically captured as Bruce. And before he transformed, but he ended up, they got him and they, you know, it was Stark. They had basically sent him, jettisoned him into space.
So Iron Man, Stark?
Yeah.
That worked.
Okay, because again, if you want to go back, I could totally nerd out. I'm going to nerd out for you.
What do you mean totally nerd? You already did.
More so. I'm going to go.
I doubt you can go any more than you already did.
What happened was it was voted to have him basically removed from the Earth to have this particular problem addressed. And no, I'm sorry. This was for the Civil War series. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was for
the
Civil War.
Yeah, there's a different... Anyway, so Hulk was considered a liability to everybody. So,
who's everybody?
Everybody.
Earth. The Earth.
Yeah, because he just goes on his destructive rampages.
It's like the whole thing with the Incredible Hulk is there's no physical end to his strength or his anger. He basically gets stronger and more just...
Which Planet Hulk kind of found a way to control,
yes.
Which I actually appreciate.
Yes, that was a very cool idea.
That was a great idea.
They used that, but they didn't use it as cool as they did inside of the comic.
I haven't read Planet Hulk. I heard it's really good, but I liked how they handled that. Essentially, okay, so he's in space... And they told him, you know, we were going to send you to this planet. It's beautiful. There's just nothing but game. You'll be happy here. And Hulk breaks out of his escapes, and he goes crazy and wrecks a ship, and it lands on a different planet than he was originally supposed to go to. Well, during the trip down, he goes through, like, some sort of black hole or something. I'm not sure what it was, but it sapped his strength as he landed on this random planet. And it's kind of like a savage planet where they capture him. They're able to capture him. Because the majority of his strength has been taken by this black hole thing. He's going to eventually get it back, but he's weakened at that point.
Yeah, so they're able to put a, I guess, a dampener on. That's what they put on prisoners there on that planet. So they were just completely powerless. They couldn't physically do anything to hurt their captors.
This where Hulk is drunk?
No, he's more lucid. Bruce Banner's not in this movie for some reason. He's stuck as Hulk.
He's stuck as Hulk, and he has... Like, the Hulk is, he's not able to make coherent, like, there's a part of him, and he's learned to actually come more of him out of there. So he's there, but he's not, like, Bruce Banner smart. You know, he's like a functional caveman. That's what you could, you know, resort
in
to.
Which it really worked for this planet, because it was kind of like, they put him in gladiator fights. It was kind of like a, like Conan.
Against who?
Against other gladiator aliens that are on this planet.
They're not Hulks. They're just
random monsters or giants or whatever the hell
from
they are.
Another universe in the Marvel world, you know.
And I just thought it
was really like the Island of Misfit Toys for monsters. Then
no, it was. You got to remember, it was like through they're traveling between worlds. You know,
it's like a parallel universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like the the comic book where they had, remember Thor, where you saw the tree? Remember the universe? Did you look at any of that? When he was going into the Bifrost, and the Bifrost is
able to go to different parts of the black guy?
Yeah. Okay, but that... thank you for boiling it right down to the basic elements here.
I don't know. I almost know nothing about this, so...
Anyway, it's just a very more involved story. That's all it is.
I enjoyed Planet Hulk. I really did. Oh, yeah. Turning Hulk into, like, a Conan-like character and having him fighting
Gladiator
rings.
There you go. That's exactly what he was. He was, like, Conan.
It really, really was, and it was awesome. I enjoyed it.
Well, the comic book, the way that is... Again, he was jettisoned into space because he was considered a liability to everything, and that's why he was this group basically that controls the world. And you know, they all have their equal part in this world, and they're the ones that ultimately have the ultimate say. So of almost everything that takes place in the world, as far as politics, whatever, and who's
like
a part
of its nose?
No, it's actually the Illuminati.
Is it?
The Illuminati, yeah. And Illuminati is...
The Illuminati on this planet or Illuminati on this planet controlling that other planet?
No, the Illuminati on this planet, on Earth.
Okay.
Okay, and the Illuminati consists of Charles Xavier.
The guy who created Garfield?
Yes.
Wow. Who created Garfield?
Jim Davis.
Jim Davis.
I don't get it.
He's a moron.
All right.
But anyway.
I was trying to bring some levity because this is just really way out there, even for me. I'm like, that's why I'm staring at you. I'm not stopping it. I'm just saying.
Dude, you got to remember how much free time I used to have at work.
That's true.
You just read comics all the time at work?
I read all the time.
Yeah, that's true. You read a lot. And I have your book, and I forgot to bring it.
And that's all I did because I had time to. So, you know, it was be like a tangent here. I was like, hey, okay, I go over here. And
this
like,
is what loneliness will do to
someone.
It
was very much so because this was, you know, when I was working help desk. So I had a lot of downtime. I mean, just ridiculous amounts of time. And that's what I loved. I miss most is just that time. Yeah, it's like you don't really cherish it until you miss it. But But anyway.
I was thinking about that.
So that was like a huge portion of my time. All I did was read, just read everything I get my hands onto. And, you know, that was...
You'd be smarter.
I know. But anyway, where was I going?
Go back to the Hulk.
Oh, the Hulk. You want to talk about the comic book? Okay, well, anyway, the Illuminati, Charles Xavier, Tony Stark.
Peter Garfield.
Doctor Strange. Then you have Namor. God, who else is there? There's a few other. You know who Namor is, right? Submariner.
Submariner. That's a fish guy, like Aquaman.
He's Neptune.
Neptune. I just know he's got the little fins on his legs.
Well, no, actually, he looks like a normal person. I mean, in the comic, he just kind of slightly...
He just doesn't wear shorts.
And
I kind of imagine him, like, no shirt. He's got, like green underwear with black stripes on him.
I think you're just projecting now,
and
aren't
fins
you?
Like on his legs.
He's projecting, everyone.
Let me get you a picture.
Wow. Just in case you're just tuning in, I wonder why that would be because this is a podcast.
So, Rudy, what did you think of the Immortals trailer?
It almost looks interesting, and then like you realize that it's probably just going to be another terrible movie. It's the guys who did. Was it the guys who did 300? Because it just looks like 300.
I think it's the producers of 300, but it's not Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder is working on.
Zack Snyder is.
He's doing Superman right now.
Is he really?
Yeah, you know who Jarell is.
Did he write it or did he?
He's having a huge port. No. Nolan's brother. What's his name?
Jim Nolan.
Yes, Jim Nolan. Wow. That little bit got to you, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
Jim Nolan. Anyway. Talks amongst yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, so I thought the trailer was interesting.
I would definitely see it when it comes to Netflix.
It has the potential to be a hit or a miss. I will agree with that.
I think it's going to be a miss because it's just bad timing for
Immortals. No. Submariner. That's who you were looking for.
No. We were talking about something else.
I don't know what you're talking about now.
What were we talking about, Rudy?
Hulk, you're going deep into the Hulk. Then you brought up the Immortals because you were looking up the Hulk,
mm-hmm.
and
know. I think that's the dude who's going to be Superman, as a matter of fact.
I
want to use the iPad. I don't think I was making any like deceiving questions.
Reading Reddit?
No, I haven't read it.
Mortals.
I'm just going to
ignore it. You don't acknowledge it?
Nope. In that world.
Did you, slight topic, Jim Norton's chip? Did you?
Wow, that was really good.
Dude, I'm telling you, I want to do chipisms as far as like with somebody, but nobody has any reference or any context in which
man,
it's made.
It's so and dark.
It's
dark and unapologetic.
Dude, so now you know why I listen to Opie and Anthony, dude. I mean, just flat out, it's a great talk show. It's like engaging conversation. It's, you know.
That's why I like Jim Jefferies and Eddie Ebb's podcast.
Dude,
it's that.
Jim Jefferies, when he's on Opie and Anthony, he fucking kills, dude. Yeah. And you know who Jim Jefferies is?
I have no idea who Jim Jefferies
is. He's a comedian.
He's from Australia. Very good comedian.
And actually, he's been in the States for a while now.
Yeah.
So I mean, but he's Australian. He's he always had. They run bits and stuff that they produce. You know, with him being there, like him talking about with the porn star, like he's completely just fucking blitzed and on ecstasy, you know, in the studio, and he's telling her that I don't like kissing because after I got a blowjob, he goes, it was kind of all downhill. I mean, away with that. You know, and she's like, oh, too bad because I'd really like it. And he goes, just fucking goes on just horrible shit just to her. And then he's like, oh, I'm just kidding. He goes, I got an accent. I'm Australian. You know, like trying to brush it off so easily. But he did it so well. But anyway, what was his aholic? Was his
Alcoholicost.
Was
it?
Okay. Yeah, that was just. I was crying, dude. He just kills. But back to the other topic, chips. You have to listen to it more often, just because. Again, Jim Norton will bring up Chip's character, and they're like, he does these horrible jokes, like you have to listen to it. I don't want to say because I won't give it justice. You know, like, I'll send it to you on Tuesday because I'll have plenty of time to do it. Anyway, back to the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, actually, just wanted to bring up some real quick stuff about Immortals. I looked it up.
Okay.
And interesting topics that I did not know, or interesting things that I didn't know. It's written by the writers from the Royal Tenenbaums.
Wes Anderson?
Because
Wes Anderson wrote Royal, didn't he?
Are you on the network?
I am on your network.
He is.
Okay,
that's like two random dudes. No, it's not Wes Anderson. I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about.
I'm like, I
didn't Owen Wilson and Wes Anderson write Royal?
Let me look at Royal.
Yeah,
I might be totally wrong on this. IMDb's.
That's the next movie I'm going to watch, The Midnight in Paris.
Oh yeah, you're right. I don't know what the hell these guys did on the Royal Tenenbaums. Well, they're credited for the Royal Tenenbaums, the writers.
Maybe they're producers or something, or maybe they wrote one of the rewrites or something. Or
probably.
Did some punch-ups.
Yeah, exactly.
See
and
right
it's
there?
Directed by the guy who directed The Cell with J-Lo.
Really?
Yes.
So no.
I'm a little on the fence
with
The Cell.
This is actually a very good universe.
So the Hulk has a beard?
No, that's not a beard.
Oh, what is that?
It's you don't know that's the Hulk. Basically,
than the fact that he's giant and green
and muscular,
no. When you see this guy, you just know he's the bad guy. But because by the time Hulk actually comes back from Planet Hulk, where
really
he was basically the ruler there
see.
After he'd done defeated this horrible empire, and he was happy there. He was like fucking pig and shit. He's like, fuck this, I'm never going back to Earth. I'm chilling here, and. You know, that's the way it was until some dude just fucked him and they ended up blowing up that planet and he just basically was
Spoiler alert.
He comes back home and, what he thinks is home.
Is Earth really his home?
And it's not. I mean, exactly. It's that story. And you see this guy right here.
See, that's the problem when I can pick stuff apart that easily.
I mean, it's just an interesting story as far as getting there. That's all it is.
But well, if anything, you should check it out. I mean, it's well, just, I don't know if you're really into stuff like that. It's animated. And
I'm not gonna, oh, well, it's a movie.
It's an animated movie.
On yeah, Netflix?
I don't know if it's on Instant. Did I? How did, no, it was on FX or something when I saw it, like, last week or the week before. But it's animated, and I enjoyed it. It was just, it was for
so
what it was.
We good. Spent 20 minutes talking about something I've never seen. But, hey, it's, we spent 20 minutes talking about something, which is good. That's the whole point of this thing.
Steve, do you have any stories about when you were in high school, how we went to the Texaco place? And my mom?
How your mom told this one really.
Do you have
really
do you know the story?
Cute.
Do you remember the story?
I remember the story.
Oh, why don't you tell us this really awesome kid story?
Okay. Well, it was a job shadowing program that you
I remember that. Yeah.
Myself and Michelle Raybon, which is she was just really cute chick that was in high school. I remember she was a really light skinned black chick.
No.
I mean really she I mean
No, pretty, I don't remember.
Anyway.
She I knew was, she was black because she had a really nice ass.
Yeah, she did. I just I remember that ass.
It was like a black ass.
Yeah. But it wasn't, like, obscene. I'm pretty sure she could probably do that booty clap thing.
Oh.
Yeah, but anyway. It was, yeah. And she was a nerd.
So
she was a total nerd. Total nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I don't think she really knew that she was hot, you know. But
oh, one of those.
Exactly. But.
Like Oscar.
Yes.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Stay on topic. Stay on topic, really.
Oh,
I remember her being cute, but I don't think she'd come into her own.
No,
she was still kind of a little shy, and
yeah.
She had braces on. And I don't know if her self-confidence was really what
no,
it should have been.
No, it wasn't.
I'm so glad we didn't have Facebook back then.
So
or
go ahead,
Twitter
Steve.
For that.
Oh, anyway, so we were going to this particular job shadowing program, and
yeah, I remember that.
Oscar's
was
mom.
11th or 12th grade. It was 12th grade.
I think it was 12th grade.
Yeah. I think it was 11th, dude.
I think it was 11.
I remember we...
Yeah, it was 11th grade.
We went... I remember they sent us to NASA.
Well,
and it sounded so cool on paper,
dude,
and
it
ended up being
so
boring.
Fucking boring. I fell asleep.
We're going to NASA!
Yeah.
And they ended up following an engineer all day, and the guy
was
checking his email. And
was that
like,
was
really?
12th grade year. We went to NASA.
Yeah, okay. Was it 12? Okay.
Yeah.
You went to NASA, too?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it was 11th grade, then.
Yeah, we went to 11th grade was Texaco, and 12th grade was NASA.
So I went to the Wortham.
I went to the Wortham with something else. I forgot. It wasn't the job thing. Not the job thing. It wasn't the shadow program. It was another program. Because I remember you got pushed to there for something else. I didn't
for the re-rees.
Yes, for the re-rees. And anyway.
What the fuck is a re-ree?
You.
Awesome. Okay, so go ahead.
Your mom was basically picking us up and driving us there because your mom worked in that area. She worked at Rice, I think.
Yes.
And so she would drop us off there because she knew exactly where it was. But in the meantime, so it was, you know, conversation. I mean, Oscar and I were sitting in the back. Michelle's sitting up front with Oscar's mom. And me and Oscar were talking to just, I don't know how, it was just stupid shit that teenagers say. But, you know, just completely oblivious to everybody.
No, that came the second because my mom told the story first.
Well,
and that led into the racism.
Yeah, okay, that's right. Well, we were driving to there. And then Ms. Cavazos was deciding to tell us how the earth was populated by God. But no, just wait.
You're looking at me waiting for my reaction. That was funny. I was looking down and Oscar
apparently
said
in this world.
which Hulk world is this?
In this world.
God. I'll believe the whole. I'll believe everything Thor happened in Thor, but that
in this world,
you'll
God
love
schmod.
This story. You'll love this story. Go ahead.
God is a baker.
Where's the butcher and the candlestick maker?
Don't get ridiculous, man.
Oh, that's weird.
Okay. So Ms. Cavazos proceeds to describe how each and all these races.
No, oh, is this the over?
Shh, just let it happen.
Oh,
let it happen.
Let it happen.
Mrs. Cavazos proceeds to tell us that the way this earth was populated after his 6-7 days of creating, you know, this rock that we're on that's not that old. Anyway, that he needed to populate the earth, so he made these cookies, turned them into people. He put them in the oven, and when
the first
first batch was
it was undercooked.
It was undercooked, so they were white. You know, the You know, so he just like, well, I don't want to destroy him. Let them have a chance. So he throws him into some part of the world where...
And the second batch came out burnt.
Burnt. So he threw him, you know...
He threw them in Africa. And the third batch came out just right. And that's your Mexicans.
And like here, Michelle is lighter than probably me.
But yet she was black.
Yeah, she was black. So but she had straight, you know, like her hair was straightened out, you know. And she didn't really look black.
And my mom didn't know that she was black. She thought that she was Hispanic. So my mom just proceeded to tell her a story how God made her burnt or her people burnt.
You are burnt people.
I thought that was one of the most racist things my mom had ever said. It was awesome.
Oh,
and then from there, go ahead, Steve.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but it came from a somewhat racist background where words were used about with no problems. Anyway, so here I am. I think I was 16, 17. I don't know how the fuck I was. And proceeded to name off these different ethnic slurs for pretty much everything we could think of. And then we ended up, hold that thought.
Steve goes ahead and says the word sand niggers. And then my mom, I don't know if she got offended by this. She was like, what did you say? It's like she wouldn't sit the most racist story ever. And then Steve says.
No, we didn't get there just yet.
I did.
He did, actually, when you walked away. So he just wanted to say that. San Negris.
No. I don't know how we ended up getting on Middle Eastern people, but we did, and I was like, oh yeah, camel jockey. And Oscar was like, hey, you know, just the way stupid ass laugh he gets.
No, not Oscar.
Yeah,
nope.
And anyway, so Oscar proceeds to laugh, and I'm like, oh yeah, sand nigga. And then I just, like, as soon as I say it, I was like, I realize she's sitting right in front of me, and it's like, and you just see her turn her head, like, turns.
What did you just say?
And yeah, she goes, and I said, grrr. And then she turns around, I thought so. And I was like, oh, just.
It was like this poor girl, we just racially offended her twice. First my mom did it, and then we did it in the back seat.
Anyway, she was still cool after that. But wow, dude. It just like. It was just one of those awkward moments. And, you know, I just, like, you had to, like, just, bleh. Yeah, that's what it was, one of those moments.
Yeah.
And, yeah, other than that, it was an interesting time. What else were we talking about, gentlemen? Anything off the list?
No, more of the Hulk.
What did you think of Walking Dead Episode 3?
Oh, okay. Oh, what? Why did he have to shoot him?
That is a great ending.
This is a spoiler. If you haven't, I'm talking to my sister. I knew my sister watched it, so.
Okay.
I
love the ending. Best Otis. Part of that episode.
I enjoyed the thing of it, but man, personally, I'm like, why'd you shoot him? You could have gotten through with him.
Such a fucked up ending that I really liked it because I did not see it coming.
Exactly.
No, he didn't.
No, he was being slow. He did it to go because it would slow them down as they proceeded to eat. Because
his leg was
he like broke it or fractured.
Yeah,
or something
because
like
when
that.
He landed, he jumped out the thing and landed. He hurt his leg and he wasn't gonna make it.
The zombie scared him out. So
no, it grabbed onto him.
Oh yeah,
I have to say that I
shot it and let him and fell. Remember?
Yeah, yeah. I am really liking the endings of The Walking Dead. It's that other one where the boy got shot. It's because I really love that ending. They took such a beautiful moment where the kid was looking at the deer.
Snaps you out of it.
Exactly. I mean, the kid was smiling. He was about to touch the deer. And
I was
then,
expecting like a zombie to do something. But yeah, that shot made you go, what?
Because it was so unexpected. It came out of nowhere. That was a great ending. And then this past episode where he just shoots him in the leg. Man, that another like... Great
the
ending.
The second where they said, where's Otis? And he looked and he just kind of shook his head. And I was like, oh,
So then you go back, and then you realize, holy shit, this guy did some repugnant shit that's going to be haunting him the rest of his life.
That's why he wants to go off on his own. Yeah. To his credit, he wanted to go off on his own already.
Yep.
But after she said, stick around, remember, because she was he was going.
Yeah, and then she and leaves. That's what made me more mad.
That's what I told you. I was like, he's like, fuck it. There's still a chance. There's still a chance. And if I get all this shit to save this girl, this woman's kid, I'm going to be back in her good graces.
Good graces.
So he's like, you got to remember, he's starting to get fucked up in the head. And like,
especially with him shaving his head, dude. I mean,
well, he did that because he got a big patch of his head hair
pulled
out.
Which was awesome because the way they showed that, when I first initially saw that, I thought he was infected.
That's what I thought.
Because the way it looked.
I never thought that. I just thought maybe he was starting to make his descent into madness, I guess.
When I first saw the like the little patch of hair, it looked like he was infected. I was like, oh, fuck. And then they went to the flashback where dude pulling out his head because he was fighting for his life after he shot him. I was like, oh, shit. Man, great, great ending. Yeah. And the gore was pretty awesome in that episode, too.
It was quite gory.
I mean, I remember at the beginning of the episode where dude takes a rock and starts pounding on that fucking zombie, just like a melon.
What about the hanging zombie? What do you think of the hanging zombie?
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, what do you think of it?
I thought it was awesome, just the concept. You know what
I mean? So he tried to kill himself and he didn't?
Yes. Okay. He killed himself, snapped his neck, and came back as a zombie. That's what I got for it.
No. He suffocated.
He suffocated and he died.
He died, and the zombies came by and ate the flesh off of his legs because
he was suffocating probably, and the zombies came and took his legs.
No,
infected
you don't remember
him.
You don't, he said he goes he had trying to kill himself before he became a zombie. He had already had the fever. By then, it was already too late because he was going to turn no matter what.
That? Okay.
What is the name of that character with the arrows?
God damn it!
I can't think of his name, but I have to say
Earl and. Earl is his brother. He chopped off his own hand.
Yeah. I can't think of his name, but whoever the character is with the bone arrow, I have to say, that guy is my favorite character.
It's so crazy because you have to hate him.
But you got to realize he had his head's in that world because he's done some fucked up shit.
But
he's able to do it to get by.
But he's had great likable moments. When
he's done his likable stuff this season.
He's like, you girls hush your mouth. We're going to find that little girl. Yeah. I mean, he was the voice of reason.
He was
the voice
of reason. He focused everybody on getting the thing.
Exactly. His character is like way far from over that active hothead that you saw in the first season.
Yes.
He's become like almost, again, like you said, the voice of reason.
Exactly.
He's somebody else who, you know, he had a fucked up past, but now you're like, hey, I got to rely on this guy for my life.
That character has changed, especially when she was crying. I mean, I think originally he probably would have gone off on her, but he was understanding.
See, I thought he was going to go off on her.
Exactly.
When he got up,
yeah.
He was like, nah. He got his shit, and he was like, I'm going to go look for this girl right now.
Exactly.
Well, I think, and part of that, too, was like, what am I going to do, sit here and listen to her cry all night? I might as well just start working.
Exactly.
See, exactly. So either way, you don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. You know, is it a magnanimous gesture? You know, you don't know. I mean, but it could be that. It could be not. I mean, you're reading into what you want, I guess.
But that guy's definitely grown into my favorite character of the show, as well as like he, had, I also kind of like the chemistry between him and the chick when she was like, "Can I borrow an arrow?"
Yeah,
he was like, "I'm not wasting an arrow on that."
Yeah,
and then he asked her a question, and she was like, "The truth."
No,
or,
answer for an arrow.
That's right. And he was like, "What a waste of an arrow!" Even with her half-ass answer, I don't know, but I like the chemistry between them. I feel like it's going to push.
I don't. That's the thing. I hope it's not a will they, won't they thing because there's so many other layers going on. A will they, won't they thing is like, really? Do we need that on top of everything else? That's the part that still kind of bothers me, the whole relationship angle.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why it needs to be there. It needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. But there's so many other psychological things that you could delve into. Why add another layer like that? That's so easy. Not necessarily. Look at me. I've never written a show in my life. But,
but I watched a bunch of them.
I watch Whitney all the time.
Whitney!
But
another aspect is I really like Herschel. Herschel's a nice little character. I like the moment when she asked him, what type of doctor are you? He's like, I'm a vet.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, what war did you serve in?
I know, that was so funny.
I'm an animal vet.
That was a moment of levity that, like, okay. It wasn't meant to be levity, but I thought it was funny. Because I knew when it was like, okay, a vet, like a
I think animal. My dog has to take a shit.
that's Bud, everyone.
Is he doing the flipper hands? Yeah, yes. He's got to take a dump.
That's Andrea, that's the chick's name, Andrea.
That's Bud. He's the unofficial fourth member of the podcast.
And also... what did you think of the moment where T-Dog was telling Dale, fuck it, let's just get out of here. Where he was like, let's go off on our own. I think that was during episode 2.
The fever was kicking in.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he was getting crazy. Not yeah. crazy, but losing blood.
Losing blood because of his infection.
Yes. What did you think of that? Like that whole scene right there. And Dale kind of snapped him back into... Well, that's when he checked him and noticed that he had the fever. What did you think of that scene?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I really liked it, but his fever was kicking in, but I see it as something that was essentially what he's going to push toward. I think the truth was coming out of
yeah,
what
that
he...
Yeah, was the truth. Okay.
Yeah, I think that was kind of like the truth of what he really wants to do.
Well, I mean, they all want to just... They, huh? Yeah, I'll have a... Wait. It's 9:19 in Houston time. Because people around the world listen to this. By around the world, I mean around Houston. And by that, I mean my sister when has time at work.
I don't know why. I really, really like that scene. It stuck out because it was the truth. I like
oh,
it.
I don't want that much. Just one would be fine.
One would be fine. I'll take a slice and I'll get it.
Yeah. But yeah, the show just, I mean, the show, right now the show can do no wrong. It's one of those shows... Where it's like, oh, they still make really good TV. And why am I watching network at all, even? Because Community, I feel, has slipped a bit. Nah. I understand the whole... Do you watch Community, Oscar?
I do not.
Okay. I don't... Oh, no. Don't get my hopes up. But...
Oh, cool. You're still open. Yeah, can I get a...
We're good to pause. So we're about 10 minutes into Saturday Night Live, and so far these have been the funniest segments I've seen in quite a long time. Although this past couple of...
I missed the one with the chick from Mike and Molly. I heard that one. She killed on that one.
But
after I watched that movie Bridesmaids, I looked at her in a whole different view. I was like, she's actually pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
The Bridesmaids, she made me laugh my ass off.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I don't know if it was because she was, like, doing lines that a dude would, but she was a chick, but she was a dude at
the
same
time. Yeah,
she
played a dude, basically, yeah.
And, you know, she played it so well, and she was fucking hilarious, yeah. Dude. And the whole thing with the dogs, that killed me. You know, when she drove by. Oh, you haven't watched it yet?
No, yeah, no, I've seen it. Yeah, I remember that.
You know, you haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it, but go ahead.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
I've heard quite a bit of good things about Bridesmaids.
It's a funny movie. It's worth a while. That'd be another get on the Redbox. I don't think it's on that streaming yet, so that's another Redbox movie to add.
I do like Kristen Wiig. I do think she's funny.
Kristen Wiig is a movie actress.
And Josh Hamm, dude, he played a fucking scumbag.
John Hamm.
Yeah.
He
played a total fucking dick.
Yeah.
And he played it just fucking awesome.
He played it great, and...
He was just, like, very shallow. Just a horrible person. Is back up yet?
No, not yet.
You know when you see these commercials, you're like, oh, man, Christmas.
That time of year,
here.
Yeah.
Just like, dude, this year just flew by.
I already got my tickets for Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
So, you know,
so really hope that Mayan prophecy comes true. I really don't want to buy anybody presents next year.
It's all a bunch of big pile of crap, but wouldn't it be cool if the dead walked the earth for just for a day, an afternoon? You know, I'm at work from till about 4. If they walk from like 1 to 3, I'll look out the window.
It depends. Yeah. Are they your huddled zombies? Because remember, in a mass, they can be like piranhas eating, grabbing you. If they're one-on-one, you can avoid them. They move slow. You can easily topple them.
Unless I was just planning on a short period I can watch through the window, and then that's it.
Okay. You know you have your zombie-proof mapped out in your head already. Every guy has one of those.
Yeah.
You know exactly what you're going to do, fortify, hold up, what you need to post to here and there just to block the entrances. It's like you thought this through. Either that or I just have way too much time.
You have way too much time in your hands.
Yeah.
Well, Zombieland kind of went over all of the general rules of killing
zombies.
Have
we talked about that?
Zombieland? I don't think we have. Or at least I haven't.
I haven't. I don't think so. It's a really brilliant movie.
I laughed my ass off on Zombieland.
So, yeah, we're watching Saturday Night Live, and so far it's been...
I guess quite a bit of the skits. I mean, they had one with the Kardashians. I thought that was hilarious.
Dude, that was actually pretty funny. On.
And the portrayal of Chris Humphries was just awesome.
That was just so out there.
Sorry, I mean to cough in your ears.
Yeah, thanks for coughing in your bloody microphone.
But anyway, well, we're grown men in our 30s, and we're in my house drinking alcohol, watching TV, eating pizza.
Yeah, that was a decent pizza.
I enjoyed it. I didn't know what the hell it was when I first saw it.
Yeah.
Because of the box. It had one of those generic...
Pizza.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's an Israeli dude who owns it.
Right.
And there's an Indian dude that goes in. He looks like one of the guys from Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom. Remember that old... Indian dude with the white hair coming out and freaks Indiana and freaks out Kate Shaw's character out. And anyway, he looks like that, but with shaved head.
Okay.
With shaved hair. You know, it's close, but he has that horseshoe around his weird shaped head.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen him in there a few times, but I think he's one of the owners because it's always them two dudes. Yeah, the dude looked like he belonged in the Israeli military. Mm. Yeah. So... probably just like wait for somebody to try to rob him.
Yeah.
It's like, he's going to kill you really, really fast.
8 times before you hit the ground.
Exactly.
There's one thing I need you to cover that we didn't cover yet.
Please.
And you, when you were at the hospital talking about your colonoscopy, going back there, going about your colon, you said the chaplain came in at one point?
Oh, yeah. The chaplain, he just asked me if I... practice, you know, as like
Satanism, yes.
But now I was like, no, I was like, I'm not religious in the slight, you know. And he was like, oh, okay, you know, he just said he was trying to like make conversation, you know. I was like, I was being polite, you know, I wouldn't, you know, just like being an outward dick. I was just like, he had nothing to bring up, and I was like, I what do you want me to say? I'm like, I'm getting blood, you know. I was like, I'm not feeling that good, but he's like, oh, okay, and he asked me what I did, and I told him, he's like, oh, I could get a hold of you. I was like, no, you really can't, you know, unless you really go a certain way to go around to get to me. And he was like, oh, okay, and just kind of...
You don't need cable. You have Jesus.
So he was kind of just persistent and pressing on pushing his religion?
No, he didn't push his religion. He just kind of just wanted to make conversation as far as, I guess, he was actually kind about it, not trying to push it on you. He just like... Yeah,
I can appreciate that because there's a lot of Christians who really do want to push it. I mean, I get that they want to preach, but a lot of times,
the whole point. You're supposed to spread the gospel.
I think for the time that would have worked, you know what I mean, for the time period. But it, like how it is modern day, you don't need to push it that much. It's there. It's your choice whether you want to go and...
By the gospel, you're supposed to press it constantly.
I understand what you mean, but I think...
Do you remember when we were going to Walgreens...
And yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like,
do you remember that trip?
Yeah, we went. Steve and I went to Walgreens this one time, and there was this Hispanic lady.
No. There's a long ass line. Remember?
Yes.
All the way down the aisle.
And I remember this Hispanic lady coming up to us and just preaching us and asking us, and she just kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it.
She had little pamphlets,
and then we chose to not accept them.
And you know, and she's like, "Well, Jesus can." She goes, "Jesus can fix anything." Jesus can do anything. And I looked at her and I looked at the line. I was like, can Jesus fix this line? And like the lady in front of me and her boyfriend, she's like, you know, like just like laughing.
Legitimate question.
You know, and she's like, don't make fun of him. I was like, I'm not. I'm saying, you know, if he can do anything, she goes, you're not supposed to test. So and you then there was challenge the Lord that you say can do something without actually giving proof. So. And you mind all this bullshit kind of the way.
Now, I also remember her. She was like, do you know Jesus? And you're like, yeah, he's at home. He's my dad. No. And then she was like, you're like, my dad's name is Jesus. And she's like, don't you make fun of God. And it was just so inappropriate of her to actually try to push it on you. Wait,
I thought I was going to be we were like 20, 21.
Yep.
So, you know, I was like, you're not going to push me around. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. I'm not going to be polite if you're trying to push this on me. I'm not asking you about your religion. Please don't ask me. Push your shit on me. I was like, I would appreciate the same you know, you respect. Like, Parks and Recreation, Ron, you know, Ron Swanson's character had the perfect line. He goes, my political and religious belief, well, they're none of your goddamn business. Yeah. Yeah, it was like, yeah. Yeah, just fucking right. You know, it was right on. And, you know, so it just fit. But, yeah, I don't like people outwardly trying to throw your shit on you. Like, there's one person I've ever been able to talk religious with or just, you know, like what I believe versus what he believes. And we have polite conversation. Like, we can actually have an amicable conversation. Like, yeah. I enjoy hearing your responses to what I'm saying because, you know, let me see a different aspect. Yeah. For, you know, let's try to see something other than what my view through my universe, what it looks like to me. You know, because I choose to believe scientific fact rather than, you know, fact. You know, instead of religion saying, hey, this was X amount of years. And just, you know, but having faith, it's something that I can understand why it's there, but...
Yeah.
I just faith to me is like, even like dark times, never like said, I want to pray to God for this and that. Never did.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to you a lot during that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it just, you're like, yeah, religion helps people. Like, I told you, I would never shit on anybody like going through chemo when they have religion like that. Because, hey, it's a coping mechanism, it helps you get through.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. It's like, I am not going to shit on somebody's beliefs or, you know, whatever they have to go through in order to adjust, to cope with what they're going through.
Because mentally, you are at that breaking point and you need something to deal
with. You're at your last, you're grasping on every last straw.
Yeah.
It's human nature. You want to live, you know, and that's exactly what it is. So, you know, you don't fault people for that. So, you know,
I understand. To me, it's great, but yeah.
I mean, that's just the way I believe. I mean, that's my view.
I agree with you. You know, I really, really do. I mean, it does frustrate me that a lot of people do really want to force and push their religion on you because it is written in the gospel. But I think a lot of that could be updated because it was for that time.
That's the infallible word of God. You can't change the infallible word
of
God.
I don't need a set of books or something like that to tell me what's right from wrong. You know, I know
except
it's right
the
what's
old
wrong.
Comic book.
And, you know, I know I'm not the most litigious person. Not litigious versus law abiding. There you go.
Or the smartest with the words.
You talk good.
You talk good.
But at the same time, you know, hey, I'm not going to sit there and rob anybody or, you know, sit there. Go basically just be a horrible, horrible individual, like just outright.
There you are.
Well, no, there's a difference between being mean to people and just being outward, like robbing other people, just have no moral compass or shit like that. I don't need religion to not tell me not to do that. Are you trying to fuck with me, man?
You can't hear what I'm saying. You're not the boss of me.
Huh?
You don't know who I am.
I think it was some pizza.
To me, I mean, that's the way... People say, I don't like to talk about religion and politics. So what are you going to talk about then? To me, that's the only thing that really is worth talking about. Even though there's almost no end to it. There's not a definitive thing. If you believe a certain way, there's almost no way. I mean, in theory, it can be done, but there's almost no way that I can ever convince someone that, hey, wait a second, here's...
And that's one thing that's pretty frustrating to me with a lot of Christians. I mean, like, a lot of Christians don't even freaking believe in dinosaurs, and the proof is there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, it's just so frustrating. How do you not believe in freaking dinosaurs?
Let me bring this up. Do you remember our valedictorian, Courtney?
Yeah.
Big white girl. Huge white girl.
She says something to this
meaning
day.
She was very popular.
Yes.
That she would. I remember this day. You know, like, I think you and I were talking because we didn't do shit in Broadhurst class. Remember, we had like 6-week projects, but we wouldn't do fucking anything at all.
Yeah, he'd just go sneak into like whatever closet and smoke. And that was like
ironically, he would sneak into the closet.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was gay as hell.
No, he was very gay. Good on him.
I mean, he was a nice dude, though.
Chick-fil-A would not like him.
No, Chick-fil-A would. Did we talk about that on mic? I don't think we did, but anyway, that's not a point. Anyway.
But we're afraid we're going to get a sponsorship from him.
This week's episode brought to you by Chick-fil-A.
We
not
love
for
them
long.
Chicken burgers, and they got some badass breakfast.
But they don't like it in the butt.
What were you saying about Courtney?
She said, you and I were talking about universe or something like that.
Okay.
And we're just bullshitting. Remember the two Mexican dudes, Francisco, and the other one had a...
How do you remember why
did
you shit,
why did you have to say it like that? Francisco?
No, that's the way he... That's the way...
Don't put it on
his,
him.
No, he said his
don't
name.
Don't put it on him.
Because I was incredibly mean, so he would emphasize
you?
His... Exactly. So he was like, no, because he would talk to back and forth to him and there's other Mexican dude.
Francisco?
Pedro, I think it was like Francisco and Pedro. I think it was like that stereotypical.
Oh, man.
And
or wasn't it Juan or Jose?
But anyway, we...
What? Juan?
Well, anyway, we were talking about space or something like that. And then
there goes our sponsorships.
Courtney was there, and I turned around. I was like, so it's like you don't think the Big Bang Theory is the correct, you know, way to the like that's proven,
at least
you know,
step in the right direction.
Yeah, it's like going
of
to be
thinking
exactly. And she goes, oh, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. She goes, God said boom and bang, you know, said bang, and then yeah, life began. And I just like looked at her and I just like shuddered inwards, like, oh. You know, just like, are you serious? Are you really serious? But you know, again, she was raised in that kind of household, so I wonder what happened.
Yeah, that is a good point because a lot of people can't really help it. I mean, that's something that their parents kind of distilled into them as they were growing up.
Yeah, you can't help it. You can't help it in as much as people are.
You have to deprogram when you get older.
Yeah. Or at least to that own age where you can think for yourself to make your own kind of decisions.
Like I said, I think that's the reason why I was like the way I was early because, again, no parental oversight at all. So, you know, I was pretty much left to my own devices as far as, like, whatever I watch, whatever. So I was watching TV way ahead of other people, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know, same, I was exposed.
Mostly same here.
So, you know, you're exposed to more things and you're just, like, you know, I guess stimulated to the point where you're just, like, it's old hat and you just, like, I guess alienate yourself from these people because you have nothing in common with them anymore, you know, and you just, well, plus you're a kid. What were we talking about?
I was this big, I'm still in the big space nerd, so, I mean, it's like, okay, I'm looking up at space. I see these stars and I see all these things. No, there's not all the stuff they're seeing.
You're going to love Melancholia. There.
Okay.
You really are.
Okay. Melancholy talks about, like, religion and shit?
No. Space.
Oh, about space. Okay.
I liked it. You know, I can understand. It was really good. I looking back, it was a really good movie.
So we have Saturday Night Live on in the background. I don't know what in the world's going on, but it's hilarious.
And the CeeLo Green.
Oh, is that what he is? Okay.
Yeah.
Forget You. The remake of that song.
CeeLo Green. He's gay?
No. I don't think so.
That's Gnarls Barkley.
Yeah. I saw him in concert.
Yeah.
Gnarls?
Yeah, we saw him.
We saw him at the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Remember he lost his voice?
Yeah, he lost his voice at the end, yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't like hold... He stopped singing the crazy...
It took me a while. It took way after that concert to finally that record really grew on me. That first record.
Uh-huh.
The first record was really good.
The internet totally broadened my music horizon. Yeah, pretty sure.
Not just rely on you for new stuff. It's like, yeah, I'll listen to it.
Yeah, and vice versa. Like shit that you would give me, like Miles Davis and shit. I'm like, I never fucking got in by myself.
That's true. Yeah, I got into Miles Davis because.
And then I like went off on a different tangent of jazz and went off to another branch and told you about this particular person. But that's how I ended up getting to it. It was just like, you know, I guess you get breadcrumbs and you kind of find an alternate route from there and you just, you know, take it and grow. But
like I recently got into really math rock. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of math rock, like instrumental math rock that's like. Really weird and like artsy.
Poets of Rhythm, Discern, and God damn, what's the name of the album?
Instrumental stuff or is that vocals?
Somewhat vocal, mainly instrumental.
I need to give you some of that stuff. Terramilos, Scale the Summit. It's like this really weird math rock that's tremendously complicated, and it's just like this complex web of music. I love
like
that.
Like the
type
guy
of
from
stuff.
The Rentals. Incredible timing. This guy's playing lead guitar, singing. Mm-hmm. It's like fucking hard as shit. Just keeping, you know, the timing alone, you know, you're just like, that's just something that's just like, wow, it's a hell of a gift.
Yeah.
You know, I'm able to, do that.
So, Rudy, what do you think of Harold and Kumar 3?
I want to go see it.
I want to see that.
I really enjoyed the first one. The second one, I thought the second one was just as good as the first one.
Really? I wasn't a fan of the second one. I really liked the first one a lot. Dude, they're on a cheetah. How could you not like a movie where two people are riding a damn cheetah?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the first one was just all kinds of brilliant. And Battleships? I laughed. I can't help it.
I think the part that I really like was a bottomless is a new topless.
Yes.
That was funny. But
what was that looking for?
I just, Guantanamo Bay just didn't do it for me like the first one did. The first one was such an unexpected surprise for me, and I just really liked it.
What was I looking for? Do you remember?
You told me the name of the man.
Cock meat sandwich, I think is what you said.
No, that's what he's going to eat after we leave.
Yes. Sweet. But yes, I'm looking forward to...
I want to go see that. I want to see Rum Diaries. What do you think of Rum Diaries?
I want to see that.
I do want to see Rum Diaries.
I enjoy Johnny Depp to begin with. My man crush for Johnny Depp deepens.
I didn't like...
Discern and Define. Well, Discern and Define.
Okay.
I didn't like Pirates 4.
Did I? No.
Pirates 4. I didn't care for it.
I haven't seen it yet. You didn't care for it, though.
I didn't care for it. I liked the mermaid scene, and that was the only thing. Movie. Oh, okay. Well, then they have an awesome scene with mermaids, but that was about it.
I think two was like derivative, and three was
fucking over the top.
Oh, okay, I'll give you that.
I liked.
I can dig stuff like that. Yeah.
It's a German band.
Very jazzy.
Jazzy.
Yeah. It's very it's just poet's rhythm.
Discern, decline.
Define.
Define.
It sounds very like tribal, like white African.
It's German dudes. Actually, they broke up, but they actually
he did say white up. African, everyone.
That's what it sounds like a white Germans. African music.
South African dudes.
Oh, have you heard that song, the South African? I was going to bring up that rapper. I forgot his name, but the name of the song is Ninja. I'm a ninja.
White rapper? Like Eminem?
Yeah, but he's from South Africa. He's from Johannesburg.
What did you think about? Did I show you that duck sauce, Big Bad Wolf?
Yeah, last week. Big Bad Wolf. Big Bad Wolf.
That'd be a great intro for the video. I mean, for the podcast.
It would be. If I ever got around to it.
Like a 5-second clip of it.
Yeah, now that it's getting darker sooner, I'll probably have more time.
Dude, yeah, it's
yeah, it's, daylight savings time's tonight or tomorrow. But I almost bought Octoon Baby again. I don't have a copy of it, but. There's like two songs that I like, and I was like, I remember when Octoon Baby came out. Again, that's music that's a time machine, because I think Octoon Baby came out and I was in middle school. Because I'm getting old.
Never heard of it. Octoon Baby?
The U2 album.
Oh, okay. Oh, the one that was just,
Yeah, they just re-released it because it's the anniversary. Because it came out right around the time the Black album came out, Metallica.
It's just Grimm. Yeah.
Didn't you want to talk about Grimm, Oscar?
Steve, what did you think about Grimm?
I think it has possible potential if they just kind of like get established. Like it may not be good, but it has the potential to get great if they have good writers. They may be able to pull it off.
I absolutely hated Grimm.
I mean, it was kind of a nice twist. You could kind of see where shit like that would happen. You know, it's like. Just these people have learned how to blend in, you know, and it's just like they try to control it. Like it's just a daily struggle. Like that dude's showing, you know, he's like, I've kept myself in line, you know.
That
was kind of a cool aspect, but you know, he looks like he's going to be a regular on there helping that dude. Apparently, you know,
yeah,
into that
he
world.
Is. He's a regular on it.
Yeah.
We were talking about the new NBC show Grimm, and essentially the concept of. No one has seen it, is that...
All 10 million of you listeners.
Exactly. There's a group of people called, they call themselves the Grimms.
Apparently, really?
I don't know if they've died off or what the hell's happening, I guess.
They hunt these like, things that are based on
the fairy tales. That are some kind of monster-looking things. That
demons and et cetera, that just, they were written about, but they were true, so.
Exactly. In the first episode.
I'm going to kick this dog.
Dealt with Red Riding Hood on how the Big Bad Wolf was kind of like the villains, and they've had they had some stupid name for them. And what they would do is these big bad wolves, they'd kidnap and eat people dressed in red.
Sorry, I just can't do it. Gabriel Iglesias lost me. I just can't.
Same here. And it was horrible. I can't express how much it was just like a badly written episode of Buffy.
Like, really?
Workaholics.
That's really
what I felt. Haven't watched that one, right?
No, I have not.
You need to watch it. It's.
I sold it to him. I was like, dude, you got to watch it.
I saw it was just.
It's stupid funny.
Yeah.
It was like Adam is like a favorite character. He's just incredibly dumb but hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, he just like, he does shit. Like, he's talking about the boner when he lifted it. He's like, does anybody else have a fifth grade boner?
I was like, oh. It's a show on Comedy Central called Workaholics. It's in its second season. And
it's incredibly funny.
I had my doubts, but it
hit its pace and it's funny. You know, you kind of attach yourself in some way to every one of those characters. You know, you can kind of like, okay, that's kind of funny, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like for some reason, bagel bites, pizzas are a running theme throughout the season.
Oh, really?
You know, remember when he threw up and when he was turning into the Lars, the alcoholic, remember?
Yeah.
You know, he threw up in the pool and he's like, it's a whole bagel bite.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, they brought it up another bagel bite.
Okay.
It's like, we just cannot digest those.
Yeah. The Colbert Report. I bring that up because have you watched any of the Conan?
I didn't watch it.
In New York? You need to at least watch the Thursday show. The Thursday show
is on TBS.
Because Triumph the Insult Comic Dog was on, Louis C.K. was on, and they performed a same-sex marriage. And
is that it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yes. And
C.K. Lewis, that's a writer, isn't it?
Louis C.K.
Never mind.
The comedian.
Never mind. No idea.
You're thinking, you don't know who Louis C.K. is?
Mm-mm.
Dude, he is Louis on FX. It's a great show.
The best show on TV.
Yeah. He just like does whatever he wants, man. He has it.
You've never seen Louis?
I've never seen Louis.
It's an incredibly dark comedy.
What's the concept of Louis?
It's kind of like semi-based on his life. And
he's a comedian, very, very funny.
Is it kind of like how he became a comedian?
It's no Thor. But it's good.
So it's like a white everybody loves Chris or everybody hates Chris.
He's Mexican.
Mexican.
So it's
he brings
a Mexican?
It up. In
yeah.
The,
it's a Mexican. It everybody hates Chris.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's Mexican. Louis C.K. He's like
he moved here when he was seven. Or
yeah.
Something like that. I forgot about that. He brings it up on this.
He's a filthy beaner. Is what he calls himself.
Yeah.
But he really is like wow. He's like. Grandparents are like uber Mexican, like live in Mexico, Mexican. You know, it's like, God, it makes me look like a bad Mexican.
Yeah.
We're all
bad
Mexicans.
He didn't speak English until he came here. I'd forgotten about that.
Does he have an accent?
Oh, no.
He sounds white.
Yeah.
Because some lady, he brings up the story, some lady was bad mouthing Mexicans. He's like, I'm Mexican. But Conan hit his stride this week. I think this was the funniest week of Conan.
I honestly haven't watched. Lisa records them, but I don't have time to watch them.
I make time. That's the only show. That's why I haven't watched a lot of other stuff. I've made time to watch Conan, and then I'm so glad I watched it this week.
So glad he has Andy Richter back.
Andy's on there. They had Andy because he left for New York this week, and he made Andy drive across country.
Uh-huh.
So he drove across country, and there's all. If you watch the webisodes, they're online. But
so glad I changed the water. Sorry, bud.
But I mean, Conan, I've really
been watching it since I was in middle school.
Yeah, you got me into Conan. Did you? Have you ever seen the movie? Oh, do you have the movie? Can't Stop.
No.
His documentary. I need to bring it. I have. It might be on this thumb drive.
If you do,
he said, raising his voice 8 octaves. It might be.
Hold on a second. You want another drink or you want freshen?
No, no, I'm good. I'm good.
All right, you have plenty of time. He's going to roll back. It's going to be an hour later. I mean, earlier.
That's the spirit.
It is, sir. Keep the conversation going. It's not like we don't have anything to talk about. It's just time. But what else are you going to do? Sleep, always sleep later.
That's true. I won't.
Yeah, you're up earlier than I am.
I'm up way early.
Dude, isn't it weird how you get older? It's like the less sleep you actually need.
Yeah.
No, it's like, disagree.
Dude. Pretty soon, dude, I'll wake
up. I
sleep quite a bit. I'm an old man.
If I sleep to like 11, I feel like I totally overslept and waste the fucking day.
11?
No, I never do that.
I sleep till about
8:30. The longest I go, I usually will sleep would be like 8 on my days off. But sometimes I'll just come back, I'll take a nap and back and forth. And that's just on my day off, Monday. That's usually it. At least it's kind of fucking up because you've been working from home. I need my alone time. It's not just a jerk off. I swear. That's what I keep telling myself.
Yeah.
But no, you know, it's just totally veg. I like live and sit and wallow in my own filth, and it's awesome. You know, it's like I recommend it to everybody. Just sit in your own filth. You'll be all right. You know, just clean up after before she comes home, or, you know. And it's, I need that time. You know, you're happier than a pig and shit. Yesterday, Lisa was, come here. I'm like, what? She goes, come here. And she goes, I was like, what? And she goes, bend down, you know, come.
Bend over.
She put the rubber glove on, and I fucked it up.
Yeah, you missed it.
Anyway, so I come in, she's like, you have something on your neck. It was a candy wrapper from when I was in the bedroom eating Kit Kats in the bed. And it was just like, it was attached to my neck. It was like this edge of the Kit Kat candy wrapper was just plastered flush to my skin. I couldn't feel it. I was like, ugh.
It was not just a little piece of chicken. It was a whole
about
you are now Homer.
That's what she said. She goes, you're just like Homer. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, look at you. You have a beard. She goes, you do some of the stupidest shit ever, you know? And it's like, true. It's like, I guess I learned a lot from him. The whole, you know, it's like, if there's a heaven, it's like, I'm holding on to you because if heaven exists, they're going to have to take you and I'm going to.
So you have a decision to make. You can only take.
Mom.
I remember about 10 years ago, I went to a friend's house. They were throwing some kind of party and I got super drunk and he told me to crash on his couch. And it was like 4 a.m. and I had to pee, but I was just so drunk and so tired.
No.
So I remember like peeing on the cushion and flipping it over and then going back to sleep. And I never told him.
Oh, no.
That's one of my stories.
Wow. You're a raging alcoholic.
But 10 years ago, he means 3 weeks ago.
You know what? Man, it's been a while. Let's go gambling.
Oh, God.
God, I couldn't do that, dude.
Oh, wow.
There's no fucking way I could do it anymore. There was a while there, I was like, I was going a lot.
Dude, you won't leave. You get stuck and motivated. You're going to win your money back if you lost your dollar.
Dude, you knew it was so crazy. You don't know anything, but you knew all the rules of craps, and you knew all the new. And you started explaining, in that loud casino, you were explaining it to me, and I was like, dude, I'll never remember any of this. I'm not playing any of this
crap. We used
crap.
To play the hell out of craps.
Yeah, dude, craps is, if you know how to play the board,
you're like Rain Man with craps.
Dude, it was so easy. I would walk in with $40. I would leave like with $800.
Really?
We did that one time.
And then like I gave Heather, I was like, here, take these chips.
Not your wife.
No, my sister, because me and her would go to with my cousin and his wife.
Incredibly hot sister.
We would go to
just like your wife.
We would go to Cachada and Isle of Capri. And I would sit there at the $5 craps. Like $5 craps, you could play a lot.
How much did it cost to play?
God damn it, I hate you.
It's because it's cheap there. Like at the other casinos, the minimum is like $20 or $10.
Yeah,
and $10 depending on the night, will go quick. But $10, $5 will last.
It'll last, but actually my cousin Jay was telling me, he's the one who wants to go to Vegas next year.
All right.
You had to go.
Yes, I need to go. I want to go see Penn & Teller.
And
I need to go see Penn & Teller. Yeah,
that's something we have to do.
Yes.
Anyway,
he's on the roof.
It's been...
Sorry.
Okay. You gotta guide me back, sir, because I'm floating
you're
about.
You're going to Vegas, craps.
Oh, craps. Anyway, so I would have like $1,200 in front of me, and just, you know, $5 chips. Then finally, I started going to the darker chips. Like, always want to get the darker chips.
The blacks, the 100s.
Yeah, and I started getting like a couple of the 100s and just stacking them up. And I was like, fuck. I grabbed them. I was like, here, Heather. I don't even count them. I was like, here, shove them in the jacket. I was like, here, take them. Take them. You know, I was like, you have to take it from me. You know, and I was like, as if I would make more stupid bets, but I would win. And you're just like, because again, you learn playing that board. And when somebody comes in, you know, with hot, I mean, who just comes in as a fucking cold fish, you fucking hate them because you just fucking lost $800. And you're like, motherfucker, I want your goddamn head. I was like, and you just get fucking mean, dude.
I've been there where I've bet like on a 6 and 8 and they just fucking crap out right there. Yeah. You lose all everything you have, dude, your chips. Yeah. And I've been pissed off at people.
But dude, like I said, well, when you play, you can just ridiculous money. I would walk Heather, like, just go back and forth, me and Heather, or just whoever. I would anywhere between a couple thousand dollars, a couple hundred dollars, down some, come up some. You know, you just kind of learn how to flow with it. But I would a lot of times just cash out the money. It's like, I'd not even pretend it was there, because if not, I would sit there. And there's times I would just sit there fucking till I lost everything.
That's the reason I'm very, like...
I think I went through all these addictions, you know, because I was a collector, dude. I was a... You knew I used to... I was just a fucking, I guess, placement, I guess, one addiction for the other. That's all it was.
Yeah. I've replaced mine with poker. I love poker. Hold'em is just...
You still play?
Yes. I even have my own poker table.
Oh.
Can you show you a picture? No, she's not on the table.
I just never. I knew if I ever to start working on gambling, and I would just get into it.
Sit back for a second. Okay,
there we go.
But I just can't.
That's my poker table.
Nice.
You see, I love that pattern. There you go. Check it out. See that pattern? See the zebra stripe?
I see it, sir.
That's awesome. Building another one.
Is it amazing that we actually still have contact and talk to each other this long after high school?
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that, especially me and Mike. First grade, I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, there's a while, it was weird because I always, like, ended up being, I hung out with Mike more than I hung out with you. Then vice versa. There's times, like, Vice did the same thing with you. Then you and Mike and me would hang out, and then all three of us would hang out without you. And...
Well, when I got kids, I kind of
started... Yeah, that was just as you,
dude. It's just like your world becomes smaller.
Yeah, when I had my first daughter, I think at 21, I kind of faded out from like all my friends and kind of had to focus on really
working
and saving money.
But once she got older and when she was at tag-along stage, you brought her everywhere with us.
She was like one or two-ish.
The way you would hold her.
Like a football.
That's what I remember. You would hold her like a football, wherever it was. Just, it was hilarious.
Did he ever drop her?
No.
Well, there you go.
He handed her like a rag doll, dude. It was hilarious. And she just went with it. That's why she never fazed her, because her dad was holding her like crazy. What?
Never mind her mental condition now. Does not matter. Does not matter.
I told Lisa today that I'm not giving him up. I was like, I'm not giving him up.
Oh, you put your foot down?
Yeah, I told her. I was like, I'm not giving him up. Sorry.
There was an option?
She wants me to get my dog up.
Oh, damn.
Bud. At Bud's Log, by the way, if you want to follow Bud on Twitter.
I was like, I love that dog. You know, I was like, it's hard. I was like, no, I don't want to get my dog up. I know you don't like him, but I've never asked you to do anything. Oh, wow. John Stewart.
Yeah, this is the last night. They really went all out. And I'm so happy to see Conan succeed the way he is. The numbers aren't great, but he's on TBS.
Yeah, he's building his audience. Dude, more and more people have more cable. You see how much? Do you see that article I sent you?
Yeah. How terrible. How this is a corporation called Comcast, and they openly rape children in front of their parents.
They have to.
Yeah. It gets funnier. Even funnier than this. It was, I mean, And to see the movie Can't Stop, I mean, the documentary, if I just, I completely just fell in love with everything that he's doing at that. I mean, I really enjoyed everything. And it's amazing to see how he succeeded, and I'm so happy that he did. And it's so great that now he's just at the level that he is.
Was he aware that he was in the audience, or he just kind of did?
This is called a bit.
Gotcha.
In comedy, things are pre-planned, and those things are called bits. Oh, I was like, what is that? That's a... Oh, look. So, Colbert comes in, and it's just, and his bit's even funnier than
How does Stewart. He stay in that character forever, dude? It's like, how do you know?
As the world has gotten sillier, his character
has gotten more extreme. And it's just parody, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's so simplistic the way he puts things.
It's the best part of the podcast is when you cough into the mic and then we stop and start watching TV.
Well, let's stop and watch TV. You want to? Okay.
So, we can stop and then do something else if we need.
Yeah, it's true. We could probably come right back to this.
You're Steve at SSISTOS. You're, I'm not, I don't know how to say it.
At O-Dizzle's Home, I think. O-D-I-Z-Z-L-E-S-H-O-M-E.
Bud is at Bud's Log. He also has a Tumblr, budslog.tumblr.com. And I'm Rudyology, and that's it.